You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Iran's population are currently experiencing a state-imposed internet and communications blackout following mass demonstrations against the government. I spoke to Samira Gureshi, women's rights advocate and researcher on social movements and civil society in Iran, about the nuances of the current political situation. Gureshi spoke to me in an independent capacity. I started by asking if she could talk about what sparked the current wave of mass protests.
It's so hard because I know that we hear mainly that this was only the economic reason for the protest, but actually it's really the protests in Iran have really long history. It's decades of protests. I always say that we cannot even look at any of these, you know, social movements or events just in bubble or in silo. We really need to look at the context. Yes, that was because serious economic crisis and recession, economic recession, and sudden, actually, you know, give an example, like before, during the Islamic Revolution or before the kind of during that time, so in Iran, they could have $7 for $1, seven toman, that is Iranian currency, for $1. So I just say approximately, but now actually suddenly jumped to about 147, 150,000 toman for $1. So it really clearly tells you a serious economic situation for sure. We know that that was the spark, you know, like the first reason. And the uniqueness of this protest was that because it was the economic phase it started, these protests start from bazaar, which is historically really kind of, it has a really symbol. So maybe not like old days, it's still important in terms of political economy of Islamic Republic, but we know that it has a symbolic position because they're mainly conservative groups, but also that traditional role of bazaar. So bazaar started these protests, but then without doubt, we know that most of these protests in Iran tends to different demands, because particularly freedom, democracy, call for really dignity, you know, because for decades they have been denied for these basic human rights. And every time, so something that I always ask people to pay attention really to, even they talk about Iran and these type of protests and movements, is first we had, especially since 1990s, we had a student movement. And then always these protests face, you know, violent, oppressive, violent oppression, you know. So student movement, we had it, and most people, you know, media, they hear from a student movement, big movements in 1999, I think. The next one they talk about it is 2009, but actually I've lived in Iran. So between this time, we had so many other protests every time during a student movement. During the student day, we call it 16 Azar. It's one of the months in the Iranian calendar. For the student day, we had different campaigns, different wars, and all of them during the 8th March. Every time women activists, they had different gatherings for International Women's Day, 8th March, but all of them oppression. And then we had 2009, a big one, which was more around the political rights and the fraud in the election. And then again, between 2009 to 2022, that we talk about Mahsa Amini, we had different demonstrations, different protests. We had 2019. We had so many of labor, actually, strikes. We had truck drivers strike. We had, again, so many of these protests, and all violent crackdown. One of them, they call it Bloody November 2019, because the level of brutality and violence they use to oppress those protests. But again, now we see another one, which is now started end of 2025, which was even bigger than the last one.
So, I want to ask a question on that note of the intensity of the crackdowns. Iran is currently under an internet blackout. What does this mean for the people living there right now?
It's really difficult, actually, because, it's exactly darkness, because it's not a new tactic by Islamic Republic of Iran. So especially from 2009 Green Movement, they find out about the power of citizen journalists. Many of the videos went out, so they started, even they didn't, after that Green Movement, they don't let foreign media coming easily and having journalists. So technically there hasn't been any kind of independent media or any media. Like it's really serious oppression when it comes to the media space. But they, after that time, they found that actually one of the important things is they need to cut these connections first, because the videos will go out, the evidence, so they can it would be hard for them to deny they use violence against their own people. But the other things is also they have this kind of, these Western media are brainwash people, and then, these kind of things. Now, because that's a good excuse, they say that these people come to the streets. It's not new, actually. This time they say that spies, they are spies of Israel, of Mossad. So in the past, we had again the same. I live in Iran, and I remember that even I was kept questioning about how I pay for my university. And it was during the time that a couple of students who study overseas, they've been arrested and in prison under the name of, because they had a scholarship, they say, you're a spy. You're a spy. So that's not a new tactic by Islamic Republic. And now with the role of social media, they need to change these tactics. And this time, very different, because everything is cut. Like even I could have, after a couple of days, I could have a really quick chat with my family in Iran, that even text messages internally, they couldn't send any text messages to each other internally. So it was completely cut from side world. But also even within a country, it was not easy to contact each other. I think it's a very terrible feeling. I just imagine myself being there. It's like definitely you're like in prison and now not even allowed to visit or have a phone call with your family. It's hard, really. I don't know. I cannot find any word to describe it.
I want to ask more about the tension between Iran and the idea of Western interference, because right now we know the United States is saying they will intervene in Iran. Is this something that the people who will be affected are supportive of?
I'm so happy that you asked this question, because it's really, as someone who I've been obsessively following different social movements in Iran, even in my research, even someone lived there and going to these demonstrations and protests and in movements, it really breaks my heart in different ways. So something that I just thinking how it's possible that one thing I feel that it's unfortunately the social media and algorithm. So unfortunately, people are getting all this information from social media, and I would really be I'm worried about this. But also, I feel that why we cannot think about different nuances, why we always think that things should be either or, when it comes to Iran, we need to be very, very careful how we analyze and how we portray these kind of movements in Iran, because there are different things that we need to consider. So imagine, I told you, it's not new, just the level is different, I work in, I don't want to use this example, but, you know, I've worked in particularly in the field frontline with family violence. We know that every in this interpersonal or system level, when you face violence, when people face violence, they resist the violence. Every time with the form of resistance that people show, that perpetrators, they also change their strategy and make it worse and worse to the extent that you really are you're entrapped. And this is the situation of Iranian people. So in different ways from decades ago, particularly from 1990s, they really try different ways to resist this form of violence, to call for their freedom. But unfortunately, every time the way that they go, dictatorship bond to these demands is even worse and more violent. So from one tactic, remembering that every time that there is a protest, they try, the Islamic Republic of Iran, try to promote this propaganda that we are very good country, we have a government system, we respect our citizens, everything is fine. But these people actually are a spy of Israel or United States. So don't forget that the doctrine of Islamic Republic is based on these enemies. These are our enemies. So they have, the Islamic Republic has some like a foundation to live. And these foundations, one is that mandatory hijab law. The other one is this claiming that they are anti-imperialism, which is a really empty claim because they are Islamic capitalists. So it's very different. So please, I get angry when people think that Islamic Republic is really kind of genuinely anti-imperialism. It's not, because they have to define themselves in this way against US and Israel, because that's the foundation of their life, to stay here in power. So when there is protest, on one side, the system use it and they try to promote this propaganda to really technically delegitimize or get that credit from these people. And then justification to violently, oppress them, arrest them, kill them, disappear the bodies, and so many terrible things. And then on the other side, we know that there is no doubt. Why not? Yes, yes, that's the reality. Many of these powerful countries, particularly like the U.S., like Israel, they are waiting for this kind of, movements, particularly in Middle East. They hijack it. Like, I don't know, like the people of Iran, they're outside, they're already protesting. And I don't know if you follow some of these tweets, on X, some of the official of Israel saying that our Mossad agents are on the ground. So technically, because they are it's a power game between Israel and Islamic Republic, and in between are the people who are dying, so they say that, our Mossad agents are on the ground. But then technically, actually, because they want to say, look, we are so powerful, we are there, we are active, we are arming your protesters. But actually, the reality then is, Islamic Republic have even more power now. Best evidence to say, look, I told you, these are the agents of Mossad agents, so I can even execute them all under the national security. So the other side, what we have nowadays, is very far left that, unfortunately, I think they are really away from some of the foundational values of the left. So I don't want to generalize left. We have so many school of thought on the left. But in general, some of those far left, that they see every of these kind of, anti-imperialism, thinking that, anyone against Israel and U.S., they are anti-imperialism and we should praise them with no critical thinking. This is dangerous. This is against the foundational values of the left. So again, what they are on this side, the far left is doing, so they say that, You know, these are all the plan of Israel, of U.S., because Islamic Republic is anti-imperialism. So what is happening technically? Again, they also give good reason for Islamic Republic to continue this execution, this killing, this disappearance of dead bodies. And technically, all of them together further entrap Iranian people in this situation, in this violent situation, but also they also get away the agency of Iranian people and completely denying decades of social movements in this country by the people, very homegrown, and costs. So many cuts. We have so many political prisons now in the prison. We have so many people that they lost their life all these decades. This is not okay. I tell the people on, I would say far left, because we have so many people on left that actually they also support people of Iran, and they don't see any kind of binary. They can support any form of violence in this Middle East, particularly they can criticize Israel, they can criticize United States for all those mess that they are doing in Middle East, and particularly genocide that is happening in Palestine, in Gaza, particularly. You can condemn that one. You have to, actually. But because it's about humanity, it's about justice, it's about equality, it's about being against any form of injustice, systematic violence and hierarchy. And in Iran, you can also support people of Iran and their movement for democracy and freedom.
That was Samira Gureshi, women's rights advocate and researcher on social movements and civil society in Iran, on the nuances of the current political situation following a week of mass demonstrations and government crackdown.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.